Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone on this Thursday as we get ready for Thursday night football. The CFL. We missed Thursday night football last week. Didn't you miss Thursday night football last week?
I'm a fan of consistency, so I wish they would do the same thing every week because it just throws me for a loop.
And we missed, I guess we technically missed Friday night football last week, too.
Well, I didn't.
Like, we missed a game on Friday night football. Yeah. We had Friday night football. We just talked a lot.
And I got my tickets.
Oh, you got the refund? Or not the refund?
Today. Yeah, I got an email. I'm going to next Friday's game for free.
Ooh, will we see Cody Fajardo? We might have to ask Dave Naylor that question.
Everything you need to get ready for game day.
Now, the Green Zone's NFL and CFL insider, Dave Naylor.
Dave Naylor is here, our CFL analyst before week 7. We'll get into a preview of that. But first, the big news in the Canadian Football League, aside from the smoke delay in Regina, has been the reinstatement of Sean Lemon. People that listen to this show now know how I truly feel about it. I'm not hiding it. I think it was a mistake to allow him back in for betting on a game in which he was participating. But Dave, break it down for us. What are you thinking on Sean Lemon's reinstatement?
Well, first of all, I'm surprised that it's come to this, just because in order for his reinstatement to matter, there has to be a market for Sean Lemon. And look, as we're speaking, he may be putting pen to paper in Montreal, because I think all indications are that's where he's going. The Alouettes, I think, lobbied on his behalf in the background. He's been living in Montreal year round. Certainly, you know, the indication is they're strongly interested. And again, I wouldn't be surprised if at any point he's there. You know, leading up to his 37th birthday, guys, give me the list of American defensive linemen who played in the CFL at 37. I off the top of my head, I can't think of one. So that's
Charleston Hughes.
Yeah, there's one. Okay. Again,
Micah Johnson just turned 37 a couple of weeks ago. There's two. Okay, there
Before we go any further, can I bet on this, him going to Montreal?
I would say if you do, my advice would be, you know, go big. I thought it was going to be forced retirement, right, when they suspended him for a year. It was like, okay, that's it, right, because he was just shy of his 36th birthday. And, look, I think a lot of times with discipline, and this came up in the Chad Kelly thing as well, people have what they want it to be, right? And say the league should do this, or the league should do that, or they do this. But ultimately, I think the league has to follow precedents, even when there are precedents that aren't in the CFL. You can use precedents in other leagues. And so I'm not sure there was a basis for a lifetime ban of Sean Lemon, you know, given two factors, and because notwithstanding the fact you said he bet on a game that he played in, which, you know, his first time around a year ago was, well, no one told me I couldn't do that. Well, I guess, you know, no one told you to stop at the red light, you know, either, right? But we all know what's right and wrong when it comes to that. That was his take. In this case, I understand that's not been the case, but I think the fact that notwithstanding the fact he bet on a game which he played, he bet on his team, which I do think makes a difference, right? And not that we should, like, say that's okay, but I do think that's a different, quote-unquote, crime. Than
yeah, but 100% it is. Dave, do we know if he bet the over or the under? Like, that could be important.
I think he bet the points. If I remember, it was one ticket. If I remember correctly, it was a parlay, I think, like a Hamilton-Calgary parlay.
And I think the parlays are points, aren't they? I know nothing about gambling. People are just going to light me up.
It was an offshore. The weird thing, it was an offshore. Like, and I've had people in the CFL call me and say, how did the league ever find that? Because it wasn't like it was at FanDuel, where, you know, you've got a registered, licensed league partner, kind of, certainly TSN partner, sportsbook. It was an offshore. The reason people wanted to ask me is because they want to kind of scare other players straight, going, look, don't try this. Even in an offshore, the league found it. And here's how they do it. Well, we don't know how they did it, but somehow they did it. Anyway, he bet on his team, and I would say with points, I believe. And the other part of it was a relatively small amount of money. Like, if he put $10,000 on the game, then I think, again, we're having a different conversation. I can't remember what the amount was. It was actually in euros, I believe, because it was in an offshore. But it was something like $100 on a parlay ticket.
Yeah, it was 40 euros or something. I don't know why like that.
Yeah, which would basically be $100.
Which is $100, yeah.
So, you know, I think where it comes down to is, you know, are you black and white on this kind of thing? Or are there degrees of this? And I think, you know, the way punishment has been handed out in other leagues, as this has become an issue in the last 10 years, is it represents there are different degrees. You probably can't make a suspension stand up where you just say, no, we're done. We're done with you, because that's probably going to get overturned, because arbitrators are going to look at it and say, well, let's see how other leagues handle situations like this. And generally, it doesn't result in a ban for life.
Let's move on to Trey Ford. An interesting conversation there, just based on what's happening in Edmonton. They've got the bye week. Their first game back is going to be in Regina at Mosaic Stadium. And
we want Fajardo.
Well, that's part of what makes this whole conversation very interesting. Do you think that that Killam puts him in?
I think there's a chance. And I think the bye week was always the logical time where they were going to do an evaluation. And look, I think this conversation shifted after last week. I mean, that was a terrible performance by Trey Ford. It was not. Yes, and every week, I think you could make the argument that he had progress. And from what I understood, the standard that the Elks were holding him to in order to, you know, keep his job was you just got to show improvement. Like, we're with you playing the long game. You just got to show improvement week after week. And I think he had, until this past week, and it was a significant step back. And the other part of this starts to become, like, it's great to say you're going to stick with a guy, but, like, they got one win, and this is year whatever in rebuilding, and this is new ownership. And I did a dropping back with Dave on this about 3 weeks ago, just about the yin-yang of how you manage this decision. Because ultimately, the question becomes, can the Elks afford to waste a season, or not waste a season, but burn a season on the development of Trey Ford? And then the question is going to be, you know, do they believe, and this is what every football coach and GM's responsibility is, you know, pretty much week to week, is who gives us the best chance to win? Is it Trey Ford or is it Cody Fajardo? And, you know, Farhan reported this in our conversation yesterday, that had training camp been a competition, it probably would have been Cody Fajardo who would have won the job. But it wasn't a competition, right? It was like, we're committed to Trey Ford. He's our guy. We're going into the season with him. Even though it would have been interesting in week two when they played Montreal, if they decided to play Fajardo, because, of course, he practiced against that defense and that defensive coordinator for 2 years. And it's basically the same personnel. There would have been an argument there. Dwayne Ford mentioned that on our broadcast. I thought that's kind of interesting. But they got to win. And, you know, I think the variance, it's not that Trey Ford can't play well. He can. It's not that Trey Ford can't make great plays. He can. But what drives coaches nuts is the variance. It's kind of like having a young pitcher that you throw out and he, you know, throws a three hitter over eight innings, and the next week he gets shelled after 2 1/3 and gives up 8. And you just don't know what you've got, right? That's exactly kind of what Trey has been. It's the variance, not the lack of talent or skill that you know, kind of gets people going crazy. So I do think there's a conversation there. And I'm not suggesting they've made a decision or that they're forcing themselves to make a decision, but I think both sides of the ball, by the way, in Edmonton, are getting a full evaluation. Obviously, when you're talking offense, the quarterback is going to be the focus. But there's a defensive coordinator conversation going on. Like, remember the offseason, guys? We talked about it. Holy smokes. Like, writing checks, defensive line all over the field. You know, Royce Metchie and Jake Ceresna and Robbie Smith and, like, more Brinkman. All
Terrell Ford.
All of this. They have given up the most points per game, the most yards per game, and the most passing yards per game in the CFL this season. Now, you know, the whole idea was, look, let's keep these games close so that Trey Ford, who, as he's developing, doesn't feel like he's got to chase the score in order to win. Well, that hasn't worked out. So I think there's some, you know, hard questions being asked in Edmonton on both sides of the ball during this bye week.
That is Dave Naylor. Coming up next, Dave's going to tell you more about the project he went through, and it's now on TSN.ca. With all the players in the CFL, he wanted to know, where do they all come from, the schools, and who has given the CFL the most? That's next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. We continue our conversation with Dave Naylor. And he's been after it the last couple of weeks, digging into where the players in the CFL come from. All his work, and it's in-depth stuff, is on TSN.ca. But, Dave, do you have like a top three things you weren't anticipating that you found out in this project?
Yeah, just, you know, to kind of explain the premise a little more, it was just like, we had players all the time and, you know, where they went to school and who they played with. And I just thought, what if we did like a big picture evaluation of like, where do these guys come from? Who are the players that are in the Canadian Football League? And especially, you know, as we've watched now, we see, it feels to me like we're seeing more Division II, FCS guys, you know, fewer guys from the Alabamas and the Notre Dames of the world, maybe because of NIL and stuff like that. But I was actually surprised to find out that, you know, the vast majority, about 68%, I believe, I've got the numbers right in front of me here, of CFL players, Americans, that is, I'm talking about, come out of the power conferences. You know, the SEC, the Big 12, the Big 10, the ACC. In fact, the ACC is the number one conference in all of college football. 31 CFL players this year played in the ACC, you know, which is, you know, Clemson and North Carolina and those schools. So, As much as we made, and again, I don't know the trend because we've never done this before. It'll be fun to follow it in years future. Is just seeing that, you know, does that number change?
So you get also the comparables.
Yeah, comparables. Also looking, you know, we see so many Canadians come through the NCAA. I was curious, what percentage of Canadians in the league come through the NCAA and what percentage come from U Sport? It's almost 2/3 U Sport, but 1/3 of guys who are Canadians come through the NCAA. And that's about what I would have guessed that would have been. Looking at the U Sports story, you know, I was funny because I wanted to figure out, okay, what schools in Canada produce the most CFL players? And there were some schools I expected to pop up like in the top five or so that didn't. Western, not in the top five. McMaster, not in the top five. Manitoba, not in the top five. Those are three schools that I would say over the last 20, 25 years produced a lot of CFL players, but right now they're not even in the top five. The number one school in Canada for producing CFL talent, I know it's based on opening week rosters, is the University of Montreal, which did not exist 25 years ago to have a football program. The number two school is a tie between Laval and Guelph. Montreal had 14 guys in opening week rosters. Guelph and Laval had 12 each. So when you put Laval and Montreal together and you figure that Laval's program is just under 30 years old, Montreal's program is 25, I mean, you really do get a shot of how the most significant development in player development in this country in the last quarter century has been the rise of those Francophone programs, because they are one and tied for two in the country in producing CFL talent. University of Montreal had 14 players. We will be showing on television tonight the Fait en Canada or Made in Canada award. We got it done in both languages because we got a Francophone school as our first winner. And we got a little football designed up. Got some help with the league on that. We'll show it on television. Then we're going to mail it out to the University of Montreal so they can put it in their trophy case. And we're going to do this annually, as we say, TSN's Made in Canada award. So it was a real fun project to go through and just kind of, you know, get a sense of where guys are coming from. And as I say, just a more of a big school presence in the CFL than I might have guessed. I thought it was declining, you know, more to the FCS. I mean, Division II. There's only 18 Division II players in the entire league. There's only 6 in Division III. There's 1 NAI player. So you look at the entire, all of the Americans in the CFL, you're talking about 25 players that didn't at least play FCS Division I. So everyone else is Division I except for 25 Americans in the league. So it's really not as much of a small school league as maybe some of people were perceiving.
Well, Dave, thank you so much as always. Enjoy a week 7 and pass it along. I know I've already messaged him and things, but pass it along. We love having Milt back with the Canadian Football League and TSN.
Great to see.
You know what, guys? I'm going to see him in person. Actually, my first phone conversation with Milt yesterday because I wanted to talk to him and welcome him back. And before I saw him in studio, I'm going to see him in about 3 hours, and I will certainly pass on the welcome back from the guys of the Green Zone.
Very cool.
That is Dave Naylor, our CFL analyst. And yes, Milt Stegall returns to the panel tonight for Thursday Night Football. It is the Alouettes and the Argos. J. Jamie and Locker with a year in the Green Zone. Of course, today it began in Canton, Ohio, the NFL Flag World, the championships. Of course, Canada is being represented by a team from Regina / Moose Jaw. So the team represented Football Saskatchewan in Regina's Flag Football League started their tournament today. Remember, it's a group of 14 and under guys. They won 28-0 over Germany today.
Come on!
So they play Great Britain a little bit later. Of course, they play multiple times a day. So a good start at the World Championships.
Good Canadian boys!
Yes, they're representing Canada at the World Flag Championships in Canada.
How long is this tournament?
It's the weekend. It's
and then we're so we'll have the results on Monday?
Yeah. Absolutely. So, good start.
Somebody please send the results to Pat McAfee.
I don't know if he'll care much about beating Germany 28-0, but
I shouldn't get ahead of myself, but I have a feeling that squad is going to make some noise down there.
Yeah, Pat McAfee baffled the other week when Canada beat the United States in flag football in that friendly competition they had.
Were you surprised at how much he reacted to the Shane Gillis monologue?
No.
You weren't?
Well, he thought he was like gonna,
he was the only one laughing in the whole crowd.
Shane Gillis hosted the ESPYs last night. And as you'd imagine, there are those who are criticizing him because they didn't like his jokes.
A lot of the jokes were very, very offside. And there were some wildly brilliant, awkward moments.
When you invite Shane Gillis to be your host.
His hero is Norm MacDonald.
I know.
He
did do, in honor of Norm MacDonald, he did bring back one of Norm's classics.
There's one thing I want to say before I get out of here, and this is a dumb joke. You guys aren't going to like it, but it was it's just a Norm MacDonald joke that I loved when he hosted the ESPYs, and I'm going to do it now. Travis Hunter won the Heisman Trophy this year. He's the first defensive player since Charles Woodson to win the Heisman. Congratulations, Travis Hunter, winning the Heisman. That's something they can never take away from you unless you kill your wife and a waiter, in which case they can take that away from you. Well,
when Norm did
see,
that,
a lot of you don't like me, and that's okay.
When Norm did that, was OJ in the room?
No.
Okay. Someone was in the room. Somebody might have a memory of this. Somebody was in the room that was either like close ties to him. There was something about that that was like that made it even crazier that Norm did it that night. I can't remember. Somebody
but
might
if you
have a
remember
memory.
Norm MacDonald's career on Saturday Night Live. Again, what were you expecting? He went week after week after week.
He lost his job on. On
well,
Saturday Night Live,
the big
because
wigs,
of the OJ
the big
stuff.
Wigs were all buddies with OJ.
Yeah.
And Norm knew it. And he was like.
And Lorne sat him down and said, you got to stop. I'm getting pressure. You got to quit. And that night he went on and did more. Like that group, that upper echelon of comics, they all revere Norm.
Well, yeah. And don't tell a comic not to make a joke about something.
I shouldn't admit this. Should I admit this?
Probably not. You should probably just move on.
Okay, I'll admit it. Because I've grown as a human. I used to do interviews, quite a few higher profile interviews. I interviewed a lot of like musicians back in the day. And if the record company sent me a don't ask this question, which we got all. It was my first question.
I am not surprised by that whatsoever.
Always.
I spent half the day telling Locker, don't. Don't. We're having this. Can I ask him? No. Don't. We should start with no. Stop it. So that's half our prep for
this. Jamie's
show.
Lying. This conversation never happens in the Green Zone Lounge. I am I've grown as a human.
Yeah, because you're listening now. But Speaking of not following the rules, let's get to Sean Lemon, shall we?
Look at you with the segue, ladies and gentlemen.
The Canadian Football League. The Canadian Football League reinstates Sean Lemon, and I've heard about it over the last 24 hours. I started the show yesterday with my Sean Lemon rant. Okay. And, but let me I'm going to rephrase that. I started the show yesterday with my gambling in sports rant. I've tried to be clear because there's a lot of people who know Sean who are reaching out to me saying, Sean's a good guy. And I'm like, this is not about Sean Lemon. This is not about Sean Lemon. It very much is about his career and the decision he made.
Yeah.
But there's nothing to do with me thinking Sean Lemon's personality and that he's not a good guy. And he hasn't reformed and done the... has nothing to do with that. I have a very, very strong stance on gambling and integrity for your game.
Yeah.
And I believe there are, it is zero tolerance. It should be zero tolerance to place a bet, not only on a game you're participating in, but I think it should be on the league you're participating in.
I agree with you.
But we're seeing now,
People are really loosening up on that.
You
idea.
Can bet on the league. You can bet on other teams.
It's a slippery slope, right? When you start to open up the doors about, well, you can do this, but you can't do that, but you can't do the over, you can't do the end. So I think it's just safer just to draw a line in the sand. We were having this conversation with JB. I have a favor to ask, and I know I think I already know the answer. Can you talk about some of the people that have reached out? Because it is quite fascinating. So we put your rant out yesterday on social media and it went nuts, and Jamie's phone has been buzzing now for, you don't have to, but
most people who know Sean, right?
Yeah.
Like, I've been around the CFL long enough and people, have contacted
they have your
enough
number.
People that I have contacts.
And well, they should know that you don't get up at me. 5 o'clock in the morning.
They know I'm still awake. That's the issue. So it is, you get the kickback on guys who want to defend Sean Lemon. Great. And I make it clear, this isn't a personality thing with Sean Lemon.
I'd like
this
to get
a personal opinion, because here's the biggest thing I heard over the last 24 hours. Jamie, he bet on himself to win. What is wrong with that? Tell me what's so ethically wrong with betting on yourself to win. So here is my question to you, because this is my question back to them. Do you want a rule in the CFL that allows every player in the league to be able to bet on CFL games in which they are participating in only if they bet on themselves?
No.
Do you want that rule in the CFL? Because apparently a lot of Sean Lemon's closest people think that's a fair rule. And some people have talked about combat sports. Boxers are allowed to bet on themselves.
Yeah.
Now, that is strictly regulated, of course, on that. Everything in boxing is. And they say, well, they can do it in the Canadian Football League. Strictly regulated. Allow them to bet on themselves.
So that's the question. We have been getting some texts on this. This has been a heated conversation the last couple of days. This one came in from somebody that chose not to share their name. As long as you're betting for your team to win, who cares if anything, you might see a guy try a bit harder, which means a better game. So that, and that sums up, Jamie.
So it's going to be a better game if guys have money in it?
Oh, I don't know, man. Like,
really?
I think you're opening up the door to... This came in from Jace. If players want to bet, then it needs to be sanctioned sites with registered accounts available for monitoring. See, now you're just adding another layer to it so that you can keep an eye on it. And does anybody in the CFL want to, like, create a whole, like, because it would take a lot of manpower to manage that? No? Maybe what Jace is saying, you only are allowed to bet on this particular site that, like, we approve this company.
Yeah.
This one came in from Kirk. If you're betting on yourself/team, there's no possibility of point shaving. It just encourages said playing to give it 120% instead of 110%, the consequences of a loss is double. It could possibly create a better game. So there are people out there that are on the side that this would benefit the game.
Here's my risk, because a lot of people say, yeah, absolutely, that works, absolutely. Why not? Okay, are they betting the under or are they betting the over for them to win? Is it a 3.5 points they're looking at? I'm going to bet myself to win, but I think it's going to be a close game.
See, that's the point.
I bet the over, and my coach is telling me to go down at the 5 so we can just kill the clock. I'm just going to scamper into the end zone here real quick so we get the over. Like, these are all things, and there's courses, actually, for match manipulation on all the things that these gambling sites and others are looking out for on money lines and everything else. And what is happening? Here's another one. These are all meetings that they're having in the Canadian Football League with the players and everything else. Like, no! Because now you're going to put rules, only the money line. Really? So now you're going to follow that all the way. Only the money line. That's all you can bet on. How about this? How we make it real easy?
Don't bet on your sport.
Don't bet on games in which you're playing, period. Or you're banned for life.
Or your league. I agree with the league, right?
1-877-332-8255. The league precedent is over. That's now a thing. Players can bet on their league now. NFL is, like, their suspensions are now 4 games. You still get suspended.
They probably figured out that for life. All those guys gamble.
And then it grows. Well, they have millions of dollars. Of course they gamble. They have money they can piss away all over the place. Of course some young guys are going to throw it on a game or two. Tom in Saskatoon. Would you be okay with a rule that allows players to gamble only if they bet on their own team?
Absolutely not. Gambling as a professional athlete does not belong in athletics.
Yeah.
And I think of professional athletes as ones that hold themselves accountable in a way that expresses their integrity and their professionalism. To be motivated by gambling is just not a professional. They are a person
Something off about that, being motivated.
Lost in a sea of wilderness somewhere.
What's that, Sorry Locker? Thanks, Tom, for the call.
Yeah, Tom, sorry. I jumped on the back end of your comment there. I apologize. I agree with Tom. There's just something... that shouldn't be a motivation, and if that is what's motivating you to try 120% as opposed to 110% in the game because I've got a bet on it, I don't know if I want to be suiting up next to that guy in any sport. If that's the only thing that gets his or her juices going is because he's got his mortgage payment on the line this week.
In pro sports, you do anyways. You have money on the line. It is a 2.5-3 year venture for most athletes. And then they're trying to see if their arts diploma can get them a job after. Like, seriously. Like, that's where we're at in pro. Money's on the line. You can get cut tomorrow if you suck.
Yeah.
That should be motivation, not, they're going to be extra motivated now that they have an extra $100 on it.
Yeah, 100%.
1-877-332-8255. What do you say? A lot of people are telling me it's fine. Let them bet.
As long as
they bet on themselves. Okay,
so I'll say this. Jamie, I'll say this. I am shocked at how many people are on the side of, what are you guys talking about? This shouldn't be a big issue. Everyone's entitled to their own opinion. That really did surprise me. I'd say 65 to 70% of the texts we're getting. And is that a sign that the stigma on gambling on sports has shifted in society as a whole?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
But Jeremy in Pence, he gambles. He says, coming from someone who plays the odd online game, Everything can be turned into a cheat in some way, even if you're betting on your own team.
100%.
And there would go the integrity of the game. 1-877-332-8255. Absolutely not. They could have information on the team the general public does not know. Some insider training. It would definitely happen.
Well, there are people that have chastised Jamie and I. Like, I've been in a room where somebody, like, Jamie goes, oh, I don't bet. What? You don't bet on, you're telling me you don't bet on the CFL? There was a guy, who go unnamed, mm-hmm. who was apoplectic, who was like, couldn't believe that Jamie and I did not take time out of his day to make bets on football.
I don't think it's, I think for me personally, I know Britton shares the same because he doesn't bet on CFL too. I think there's an ethical line that I don't want to cross because I could practice the other day. I saw things in practice nobody else knows that I could go, whoop, I'm betting the over on that one. Let's go. But no, I don't think so. And it's the same with players in the league.
Yeah.
They should not be betting on their league. They should not be betting on games in which they're playing. 1-877-332-8255. This is the Green Zone on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.